David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. And today I'm very excited because we have a professional person who is just outstanding. And his name is Ravi, and he is in the spirituality industry where he helps people connect with their mind, body, and soul. And today he has some really good pointers. We're going to talk about stress, and we're going to talk about ending worry, and he has some great things to tell us about that. So before we start, Ravi, can you tell us a little about yourself and what you do? And let's take it from there.
Sure, Miss Stacey. Thank you for having me. What an honor to be visiting with you and talking to you. I look forward to talking about all these points that you have mentioned. There is a lot of stress that we face in our modern world. So let's talk about that. For your listeners, my name is Ravi Kathuria. I am the author of the non-religious spirituality book, Happy Soul, Hungry Mind. It is about modern spirituality. It's about practical spirituality. So I'm the author of the book. But if somebody asks me who I am, really, I'm just a student of spirituality on my journey from my mind to my soul. It's the most important journey for all of us in this life, is the journey from our mind to our soul. And when we experience our own soul, that's when our life gets transformed. So I'm on that journey, and all of us are on that journey. So we're together, companions of each other on this journey. So thank you again for having me, Ms. Stacey. Appreciate it. Looking forward to this discussion.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, have a difficulty with connecting the mind, body, and soul. You know, you hear people talk about it. You hear people talking about mindfulness. You hear people, you know, talking about the importance of making the connection. But I don't think people understand the real importance of making the mind, body, and soul, that having that connection and what it can do for us. Can you tell people about why it is so important that we make the connection with our mind, body, and soul?
Yes. Great question. Thank you. You know, so let's talk about the mind. Let's talk about the mind. Since we are born, and even you watch and observe this among toddlers, their mind is very active, right? They want stuff, and they can throw a tantrum. And you can see a toddler already has likes and dislikes, right? Has fears and wants some enjoyment, right? And so from very young age, we are used to the mind driving us and controlling us, right? And we go through our entire lives doing that. We serve this master, and it endlessly wants more. It never gets satisfied.
Right.
You know, which is actually where the title of my book, Hungry Mind, comes from. Is hungry is not so much as it is curious mind. It's a mind, it's a master who's never satisfied. No matter how much you achieve, the mind says, "Well, that was great. You did that yesterday. What are you going to do for me today?" And you go, "Well, I'm exhausted accomplishing all of this." And the mind goes, "Yeah, but I'm already tired of that. I'm already used to that. You bought this beautiful car, now I want the next car. You bought this beautiful home, now I want a bigger home. You made so much money on the stock market. Well, that's last year's story. How are we going to double it this year?" Right? And so the mind wants, and people are going through, you know, I meet couples who are not able to conceive, and they want a baby badly, right? And so then they become pregnant, then they can't wait for the pregnancy to be over, then the baby is born, they can't wait for the baby to grow up, then it's toddler, right? And so we're always waiting for the next phase of life, and the mind constantly drives that. So when you look at the mind, body, soul balance and experience, one thing that we have to realize is that we are not the mind.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And many, many authors and spiritual leaders have talked about that, and to differentiate ourselves from the mind. And yeah. So if we are not the mind, then what is our relationship to the mind?
Right.
We're actually the owner of the mind.
Yes.
The mind is not our master. We are the master of the mind. So in my book, I use this example of, you know, somebody walking their dog, and some masters have trained their dog to walk behind them to make sure that the dog understands who the master is.
Mm-hmm.
Other masters, the dog is leading, and the dog is in full belief that that dog is the master, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the human being is following them because they are. And the mind is the same way. We have to train our mind. We have to discipline ourselves where we become the master of our minds. Because the truth is, and I say this, the mind can be our best friend, or it can be our own worst enemy.
Yes, I agree.
Right? The mind, our own mind can drive ourselves crazy. Our own mind can make us obsess. Our mind can make us jealous and greedy. And then it takes us for a spin. It's like running after that dog that is completely out of control. Or if the mind was a tiger, then hanging onto the tiger by its tail. And not right. riding the tiger and controlling it, right? So the mind, and it happens to all of us. It happens to the best of us. We get hurt, you right? We have a series of failures. And so you would have heard this expression, you know, the lows are never quite as low as people think they are. And the highs are never quite high as people think they are, right? And so when we're riding success, we get arrogant, right? Our head becomes bigger than others can handle it, right? And when we are down, we begin to completely lose faith in ourselves, lose confidence. We think we're no good. We can never achieve, right? And so this cycle keeps growing, this roller coaster ride, right? And what is happening is that the mind accentuates it, amplifies the situation, and completely takes us in our grip and controls us. And we become slaves to the mind. And it's a roller coaster ride.
Yes.
And so in life, we have to recognize that we are not the mind. Every human being is the owner of the mind, and you manage the mind. So I have shared this in previous videos. I said, look, when you're angry, when you're really upset, instead of saying, I am upset, what you should say is my mind is upset.
Yes.
My mind is angry. My mind is really depressed. My mind has become really arrogant. And when you begin to say that, just that little phrase change, it begins to distance you from the mind. And you say, well, if the mind is really, really upset, if the mind is really depressed, maybe, just maybe, I could have some influence on the mind and suggest to it, channel it. So I said, look, I know you're upset. It's okay. I know you're really unhappy because you lost the love of your life. I understand that. It's okay. We have to pick ourselves up, oh mind. And I know, and you know, and it happens not just the love of their lives. I know somebody who lost their dog recently, right? And they're feeling the grief, right?
Right.
Forget dealing with the grief of a loved one, a loved person, right? I mean, their dog is part of their family, and they're going through that, right?
Yes.
Now, it's not, I'm not a dog owner, so I should be careful. Dog owners would be upset with me. You know, you can get a new dog, right? And ultimately, it's very difficult to replace a loved person, right, who is gone. But you can get a new dog in your life and you can rebuild. But we have to get to that point. We have to tell the mind, look, I know we're missing the dog. I know we're missing. And my book, one of the, you know, the main character goes through a tragic, and is the same thing. The book starts with that. And it's very difficult to deal with grief. But we... unfortunately, I wish the world was not designed that way.
Yes.
But I cannot change that. I wish I could change that. Someday I will have a conversation with someone really important about that and ask why the world was designed. But I cannot change that. The only thing that I can change is help people recognize that even in those moments of grief, how to manage the mind, because I talk about this in the book, is the mind takes us through this wash and rinse cycle, right?
Yes.
It puts us in the washing machine, and it constantly, endlessly, the video keeps playing, right? And the guilt and the regret and all of that, and the tragedy aside, the mind harasses us, tortures us endlessly, right? Never stops. And we have to break that cycle. We have to tell the mind, look, something terrible, really terrible has happened. And I'm, you know, wish it be different. But you, the mind, has to stop torturing me endlessly.
Yes.
And then you begin to come out of that. So, we have talked about, but, you know, that's the, you know, the challenging side of life. But even the good side of life, we talked about this, is, you know, you when you have a lot of success, things go to your head. And your personality changes, right? And so we have to be watchful. We have to understand how the mind works, because all of us in life are looking for happiness, whether we realize it or not. We're looking for happiness. Unfortunately, we're looking for happiness through all the material things. We're looking for more money, more fame, more reputation, more friends, more love, right? All to satisfy the mind. And one challenge that we have about chasing happiness in the material world is that the mind never is satisfied. We talked about that. But also the mind can change its preference, right? So you married your high school sweetheart, and you have been married for 30 years, and suddenly you wake up one day and you say, what happened? And you say, well, the love is gone. And you go, how can you, yeah, this is your sweetheart. Nobody forced you. You married and you presumably had a family, had great experience. You say, you know, did you have a bad experience? Did you have an argument? No. Everything is good. I'm still fond of that person, but I'm no longer in love. And you go, well, how is that? And it's because the mind has changed preference. I know of students who worked very hard through high school and college to become a doctor. And then one morning they woke up and realize that's not what they want to do. And to the shock of their parents, who have put all this money, and friends and relatives, right, who were counting on them,
yeah,
suddenly they say, I cannot do this. I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind can change its preference. And so we have to be careful, right? I mean, I was giving this example. We work very hard to buy a nice fancy house, a big house. And then 5 years later, you're sick of the house because you go, oh, this is too big. I cannot manage it. I hate this house. And you go, well, 5 years ago, you worked so hard. That was your only desire. If only, oh, only if I could get this house. Only if I could get this house, right? You competed with so many other people who were trying to buy the house, right? And you were just ecstatic when you were able to buy it and you moved in. And 5 years later, the same house, the house has not changed. Your relationship with the house has changed. Your preference, the mind goes, I don't want this anymore. Right? And so you have to be careful. You have to watch that and say, okay, I worked so hard to satisfy the mind. I worked so hard to get that house. It can change his preference. So my happiness is really held hostage by the mind. How do I really become happy in life without my happiness being subject to the whims and fancies of the mind? Now that, Ms. Stacy, is the ultimate question of life.
Right.
That is what people have to think, because we're chasing happiness. We chase happiness through, like I said, love, friends, But even friendships come and go. So then you say, okay, where do I get this permanent happiness? How can I be permanently happy? Can I be permanently happy no matter what the mind wants? And yes. So in Happy Soul, Hungry Mind, this non-religious spirituality book, I talk about permanent happiness lies beyond the mind. You have to understand that you have to go around it. Because if you spend all your life serving this mind, it will always leave you a little bit dissatisfied. It might change its preference and constantly keep you on your toes.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
But to achieve this permanent, a more longer lasting happiness, you have to go around the mind. You have to make the mind completely quiet. And if you do that, if you make the mind completely quiet, something magical happens within you that is completely natural and that is automatic. And that magic, that wonderment that exists in you, when that unfolds, that's when you have truly arrived and are living the best life that you can have.
So is it basically focusing more on your heart than your mind? Because I feel like the heart, for me personally, the heart is really where all the answers are. If we connect with our heart will lead us to the answers and will tell our mind what we really need and what we really want. Do you agree with that?
So let me say this. I know we talk about the heart, but the mind has many aspects to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has the mind, which is the thought processes. It has the intellect, right? Which is the discerning power. You know, you say, well, what is my conscious? It's your intellect which says, this is the right thing to do. This is not, this is a dumb thing to do, because the mind is impulsive.
Yes.
The mind is impulsive. It wants to go and buy, you know, you're in the store and it wants to buy that expensive bag, right? And the intellect goes, well, you got three of these already. What is the fourth one going to do? But the mind goes, no, it sounds so beautiful, right? And look, they dropped it 10%. So you go, well, we bought it cheap. You know, the intellect goes, we bought it cheap, you know, less expensive somewhere else. But the mind goes, no, I just want it. I just want it. I just want it, right? And it can override. So we have that. We have the impulsive part. We have the intellect part. We have the intuition part, right? So we also have intuition, which comes in. And when we are quiet, that intuition speaks to us, right? And we say, well, there is an inner deep voice, right? So we have the impulsive layer. We have the intellect. We have then the intuition is the deeper inner voice, right? And so when you talk about the heart, is this intuition, right? Because you go, all right, what is it? What is it that is coming from within me, right? And it's the subconscious layers. And what happens is your heart, you know, when we are in love or when we are dejected in love, we feel the emotions in the heart, right? Mm-hmm. When we are in fear, when we are afraid, we feel it in the stomach area, right? So you feel it in your gut, right? So it's the mind, as it feels fear, as it feels love, different organs in the body will respond to that, okay? Yes. But it all comes back to the mind. It all comes back to the mind and what it is thinking, what it is feeling, right? So yes, you feel it in the heart, but it's back to the mind on how it is how it is assessing the situations, how it is reacting to the situations, and what its expectations are, right? what his expectations are, because you and your friend, right, could have the same experience, but its impact on you could be very different, right?
Right.
It's amazing where, you know, people can go through the same experience, but their impact on them could be very different based on their experience, based on their history, based on their personality, right? And so the mind is controlling that. And then based on that reaction that they're feeling, different body parts, different body organs will be affected. And that's where you will feel it, right? That's where you will feel it. So I go back to, we have to, if we are going to make progress in life, where we need to watch our minds. We need to understand how the mind works. We need to understand what makes our mind happy. We need to understand what makes our mind unhappy. You know, maybe I was giving this example to someone. I said, look, you know, maybe you had a grandfather who loved you very much. And when you were a teenager, grandfather wrote you a beautiful letter on how smart you are and how much faith and confidence your grandfather had in your ability to do well in life. And what an encouraging letter he wrote, right? Mm-hmm. And 20 years go by and that letter is sitting somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And your mind has forgotten about it. And you're cleaning your drawers and you come across the letter and you read this letter, right? You knew it existed, your mind, but you read it and suddenly the mind gets energized all over again, right? Something that happened 20 years ago, and your grandfather is gone now, but that letter can get the mind going again, right? So there are ways, you have to understand what that letter, most people will not recognize that they're suddenly in a better mood and they feel they can go and achieve a lot more. Suddenly they have a new energy. They say, what happened? Ravi, you seem to have a lot of new energy. Say, I don't know. I feel I can do it. I feel I can accomplish. I was struggling with it, right?
Right.
And I forget that I read my grandfather's letter last week and that completely changed my perspective, right?
Yes.
And it's because the mind suddenly got, diverted in that direction. And so we have to start understanding what gets us high in our minds and also what gets us low. You know, some of us are more vulnerable, more sensitive to what others say. We get up in the morning and we see an email, and that email is not necessarily derogatory, but it didn't quite, you know, applaud us or celebrate us or recognize us. Maybe it's an email from the boss,
right,
and did not actually acknowledge us completely. Oh, that's it. That just small thing. And maybe the boss was busy or God knows whatever, right?
Right.
By that email. But that can have such an impact on us. And suddenly for 3 days, you know, and God forbid that happens on a Friday, your weekend is now gone. Right? Because it's playing. You go, what is this? Why did I? Right? And so you have to understand how this mind is playing with you, right? And then you go to Monday and the boss says, oh, by the way, I should have written the email. I really should have acknowledged you more explicitly. And you go, oh, yeah. But you have just wasted 3 days of your life that I can never give you back.
So what does a person do then? What does a person do when they have those negative thoughts? How do they separate them from the mind and focus on those positive thoughts? How do they get rid of them?
Yes, yes. Great question, Ms. Stacy. Great question. It's to be vigilant, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have to understand. Some people are more vulnerable than others. If I'm a vulnerable person, if I get affected by that, then I have to put my guard up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have a home and I have walls and windows to protect me from the elements, right?
Yes.
Because I know I live in New Jersey and it can snow a lot. Or I live in Texas and it can become hot a lot, right?
Yes.
So I create a protective environment. Everybody does. If we didn't have that protective environment, we live now in fancy homes. But the basic purpose of the house is to protect us from the elements.
Yes.
And we need to start creating that around our mental. We need to create our mental home, right? And say, okay, yes. I could receive an email like that, or I could be at work, or a friend could put me down, and that can affect me, right? And they may not really come out and say, well, you're a terrible person, or just small cues. I am very sensitive to that, right? And so then you start reminding yourself, and you say, look, I know I'm sensitive to that. So one, either I stop reading emails in the morning. There are a lot of people who have realized that the first thing they should not do is get up and read the news or read their emails, right? Mm-hmm. In news, if you watch the news, most of the time the news is all about bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if you watch that constantly, it's going to affect you. So, you know, maybe watch it, you know, if you want to catch up with news, then watch it later in the day, but not first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read your emails, right? Settle down, calm yourself down, and then shore yourself up, and then watch that. And then, you know, if you're dealing with people who are, you know, some friends of your good friends, well-meaning friends, may have a habit of putting others down, right? They make this smart quips. They're constantly, right? And they feel good about themselves, right? Because they think they're being witty, not recognizing, because they're not sensitive to how the other person is responding, right?
Correct.
And it can also happen, you know, those of us who are really sensitive sometimes can be very insensitive to others. It's just amazing, right?
Yes.
I can be very sensitive. I say, oh, please don't talk about it. But I'm happy to go talk about others, right? All the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, excuse me, if you're that sensitive, why are you being insensitive to others? But we don't make the connection. We don't make the connection, right? And so you go, okay, all right. I am very sensitive. I get affected.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I have to either start building a little distance from those people if I cannot handle it till I'm able to become stronger, or I have to remind myself that is their nature. I cannot change them, right?
Right.
What I can change is consciously observing that quip is not making me feel good, and you stop it right there in their tracks. Now, you know, I promise you it's not going to be easy, and you're not going to be perfect and stopping all the quips. But if you watch it, what will happen is, if it was going to have you a 100% impact, because you have now conscious about it, it will have an 80% impact on it. And over time, it will have a 60% impact. And so what happens is you become stronger and stronger. I met a young man recently. He lost both his parents, right? Mm-hmm. One to, you know, father has left him, and mother, he's no longer able to be in proximity. And that young man has such a mature take on life, right? Because he has gone through so much in life already.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Some of us who have not yet gone through that, we are more vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to face him. You say, okay, well, this is going to happen. He goes, right? Mm-hmm. He says, okay, well, whatever, but, you know, how do I, you know, okay, well, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But somebody else who has not seen hardships is more vulnerable, right? But it's the same thing as life is teaching us, and all these challenges exist, and we have to keep reminding ourselves that life is a roller coaster ride. I wish I could take all the pains away in life, but they exist. I wish I could take the challenges away. Yes. I cannot. All I can tell you is, and all I would pray for you, and for myself, I'm in this. It's not as if I have achieved, right? We're all in this together.
Yes.
Is how do we deal with life situations?
Yes.
How do we protect ourselves? And that's where spirituality comes in. Spirituality is the buffer. It's the protective gear that we can wear. And then we can go about life, and life will not affect us.
Now, you talk about, you know, life is a roller coaster ride, and you mentioned that we all go through obstacles, and with obstacles comes stress and comes anxiety and sometimes depression if we let it go. Now, you had mentioned that you created 18 steps to help people decrease their stress and to get their worries and to help them get through life. Can you share some of those with us? And
yes, sure. No, thank you for asking about that. There is a video that I've done on YouTube on 18 steps to reduce stress and anxiety. I hope your audience will take the time to watch it. But, you know, to begin with, and let me say this, we are all living in the modern world, right? We are constantly bombarded with work and busyness and errands. We never have a moment to slow down, right? We never can catch up. It's almost like we're constantly running, right?
Yes.
Either because you're at work or even if you're somebody who's managing the house, he or she, because even managing the house these days is it's a chore, right?
Yes.
Things constantly breaking. You have to deal with people. You have kids to deal with and, you know, family to take care of. We are constantly pushing ourselves. That's the society, right? We want more and we push ourselves. And then in all of this, we want to squeeze in 3 vacations and then that vacations are more stressful. And you go, oh my God, I want to get home from this vacation. And you get home from the vacation. And people say, I want a vacation from the vacation. What kind of a crazy life we are living? I shouldn't say crazy life. That sounds judgmental. That is the life we are living, right?
Yes.
And we are, you know, people when they are in school, I go to kids in school. I say, what do you want? Nobody says happiness. Kids in college want money.
Yeah.
They say, we want money. As soon as I graduate, I want money.
Mm-hmm.
I want money. Not, I have not heard one of them say happiness. And that makes me sad, because as society, we have said that, we have brainwashed our kids, we have brainwashed ourselves to constantly push ourselves, And what happens is I am an executive coach. I have coached many senior executives, CEOs included. I find that they have been doing that to themselves for 20, 30 years, 40 years.
Yeah.
And that stress has always been there. So I use this example in the book, and it's not my example. I've heard it from my brother-in-law, is that if you hold a glass of water for a minute.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Nothing happens. You hold it for half an hour, it gets a little uncomfortable. You hold it for 12 hours, your arm is going to fall off. Right? It's the same glass of water. And so we continue to keep this stress, carry this stress for 10, 20, 30 years, right? And that's when it becomes chronic stress.
Mm-hmm.
And chronic stress is still something that we take, and then it translates into anxiety.
Yes.
Where it becomes involuntary stress.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm no longer, I could be sitting in the park and I could get an anxiety attack. And you go, well, what happened? You're sitting in a park, you're beautiful, you know, you're watching ducks and swans in the lake. And you go, but I'm getting an anxiety attack. You said that something bad happened. Did you read an email in the morning? He goes, no, but I'm getting an anxiety attack. And you go, well, why are you getting an anxiety attack? I cannot explain it, right? You're getting it because it's involuntary. The subconscious has been collecting the stress for years and decades, and something in there is triggering it, and that is showing up as anxiety. And anxiety is uncontrollable, right? You have to then take severe steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is, people don't realize that they have stress, they're carrying stress. The very first step that people need to see is acknowledge that there is a problem.
Yes.
Acknowledge that I am carrying stress around,
mm-hmm.
that I am carrying, I have this weight on me. right? That acknowledgement must come, because then you're aware of the problem. If you're never aware of the problem, all these steps that I might have listed, they're useless, because you go, I don't have a problem. Well, if you don't have a problem, you don't need the solution, right? You have to acknowledge that you have a problem, that you have this stress and that stress. And people say, well, you know, I get so many people and they argue with me and they push back and they say, well, you know, some amount of stress is good. Yes, right? Some amount of stress is good if that stress is for a limited time.
Yes.
If the stress is continuous and constant, yes, that stress will kill you. I shouldn't say it as in such dark terms.
No, but right? It will destroy you.
But if it may not kill you, but I promise you, your quality of life is going to be compromised. You may have the best life. You may be a billionaire. I don't care. And if you watch, Ms. Stacy, and any of your audience will agree with me, you watch some of these billionaires, they have all the money in the world. You watch how they behave and react, and you can tell these are very stressed, highly stressed people.
Right.
These are people who have so much stress, they wake up in the morning, they don't get up and tap their feet and dance around and say, voila, I have $1 billion. I can never spend this money in my whole life. You watch them. These people are highly stressed.
Yes.
You watch them on TV and how easily they can be, you know, they can get irritated, how easily they can get inflamed. You go, you are a billionaire. Why do you have stress?
Right.
All of us, the 99% of people on earth, want to get to your status. We want $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. But if that's how you are going to be after having $1 billion, then the rest of us are just fools.
Right.
Why is it that billionaires, and so I have done this quote on my Instagram feed. I ask the question, I say, are billionaires the happiest people on earth? And if not, why not? What is this society that I have created, these pressures that I have created? If billionaires cannot be happy, then why the rest of us are trying to emulate them and trying to earn that kind of money?
Right.
Who are the happiest people on earth, right? But so I'm, you know, getting back to stress. Billionaires have stress. CEOs have stress after all the success. I have coached CEOs and, oh my God, the amount of stress that they have is just amazing. And the reason they bring me in is to reduce their stress, because mm-hmm. the stress is affecting, forget the quality of life. These people are so motivated, they don't even see quality of life, but the quality of their decisions. Right. And that stress is affecting the organization and its right. performance. That is where I go in and I say, excuse me, what you're doing, that stress that you have been carrying around that you have not realized for 30 years mm-hmm. has affected you. It's affecting your relationships at work, how it's affecting your leadership style, and you don't even realize it. So we're carrying stress. So whether it's executives or whether it is a high school students today, you watch them have so much stress. Students in college have so much stress. My God, we have filled the system with stress. So we all have to acknowledge and say, I have stress and I must do something about it. Right? And one of the things that you should do is share. It's very difficult. You know, women find it very easy to share. I should at least say easier to share. Right? Mm-hmm. Men, I find it very difficult for them to share with friends or family that they are going through stress. Men have a real problem.
Yes.
Women do too, but men, I mean, men is, you know, this is a chronic problem. We have to go out and start sharing. We cannot share it with our spouses. We certainly cannot share it with our parents. Oh my God, we'll never get stopped the end of it. We cannot share it with our children. Our children are not interested. When we go to friends, our friends want to see us as you know, fun-loving guys. They want to sit and talk about all of this. So where do I turn? Right? So in my book, my book is about two men. And, it you know, their struggle. And it's interesting how they come around and begin to peel each other, right? It's very difficult because men are protective. We are not used to, right? And that stress. So I would recommend both men and women and all genders to start sharing with someone, right? And if you cannot share with a human being, then share with your dog, right? Have a pet. Talk to a tree. Talk to someone. Because your mind, your subconscious doesn't realize who you're talking to. It just feels better that you're talking to someone.
Right.
I'm being a little bit frivolous here, but find a human being, right? Otherwise, go find a stranger. Go somewhere. Go join a support group. Make sure that you are expressing that stress because that will take it a notch down. It won't disappear completely, right?
Right.
You have to take it a notch down. And you have to tell yourself, I have stress and I'm going to work on this. I will take care of this. And by that affirmation, you are going to find your condition improving. Now, you know, I talked about chronic stress, which has been there for a long time. But many of us, because we talked about life's challenges, we get hit by extreme situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
We lose our job. We have legal problems. We have health problems. A loved one is in, right? Mm-hmm. Or something is going wrong with us. And then the stress is palpable. And we go, you know, weather-related incidents have been going up, right?
Yes.
And so you say, but I did not expect this. My house was standing there and I have just gone through this storm. And suddenly my house doesn't stand anymore.
Right.
Right? And you go, wow. That is intense amount of stress. And it is a reality. People are facing that. People are getting cancer diagnosis every day. We haven't been able to cure cancer, right? There are other diseases where we're having people who are getting fired. There are layoffs. All kinds of stuff are happening, right? That is how life is. And that's where we have to start building our perspective. So in the book, I talk about maturing our perspective, right? It's like that young man who has matured his perspective. He has seen the ugly side of life, right?
Right.
To lose parents or not have connection with them at your young age leaves a dark impression on you, right? But the rest of us have to start preparing because, you know, we expect life to be rosy. And I have not met a person on earth who doesn't expect their life to go just completely smooth. Right? We all want that. We all want that. We have certain expectations. Not everyone wants to be a billionaire. But whatever you say, well, look, I can be a bus driver, but I want to be able to have my bus driver and go home and enjoy my life and have my family. And I want that, right?
Right.
Everyone wants their level of expectation to be fulfilled. We all want a rosy, comfortable life according to our desires. Yeah, I need to promote myself where I get to design a new world, but I cannot. I don't have the powers to promote myself. I am living in this world, and we all are. And the only way that we can deal with life is maturing our perspectives and begin to understand that there are no guarantees in life.
Yes.
There are no guarantees in life. There will be roller coasters. There will be things that will not go according to our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when an incident happens, when a stressful incident happens, one thing that we have to do is recognize that the stress is intense. And you have to immediately see if you can distance yourself just a little bit.
Right.
From that. Because the fact is, even though that incident has happened, you still have to go find solutions.
Yes.
You cannot be, you know, if your house got destroyed or if you have a cancer diagnosis, you still have to do something. If you just sit down by the roadside, the house is not going to reconstruct itself. It will not clean itself. You have to do stuff. If you have a cancer diagnosis, you have to go find the best doctor, because I promise you, you can end up with the wrong doctor and can things get even more complicated and worse, right? So have to work hard on researching the doctors. There are, unfortunately, I'm sad to say this, there are bad doctors. There are incompetent doctors that we face. There are the unethical doctors, right? They exist. Yes. Like in any profession, right? You mm-hmm. go to, they exist. So you have to make sure that you guard yourself.
Yes.
And not get overwhelmed, because if you get overwhelmed, you are not going to be able to work on the solution.
Right.
So you have to tell your mind and say, look, this is a horribly stressful situation. And make sure you don't get caught up in that cycle of why is it happening to me? Right? What did I do? Why is it happening to me? That is not going to get you anywhere.
Right.
Right. And I will say this now. I've gotten myself excited. I have listened to some religious leaders who sell hope. And they say, well, don't worry, you know, something is going to take care of you. Have faith. It will, you know, no, please don't sell hope. You don't need hope. You need to have confidence in yourself
mm-hmm.
to be able to go and work on the situation and find a solution. Because if you are not going to do it, nobody else is going to do it for you.
Right.
You have to face the situation, and then you have to go out and seek help from others. If you're going to sit at home, crawled in a fetus position, praying on hope. Yeah, I wish I could tell you. I cannot sell you hope. And it's dangerous. Go out and work. No matter how hard the situation is, we all have to work. So if you see intense stress coming, you need to distance yourself from that stress and say, okay, I need to calm myself down so I can work on the solutions, right?
Yes.
It is absolutely important to do that. And of course, go out and seek help. You know, sometimes we have so much pride. We don't want to go out and seek help. Sometimes we are so dejected in the situation. We feel it is hopeless. No. Sooner or later, you are going to have to go out and work hard, right? And I'll say this. I mean, there are 18 steps, so I don't want to go through all of them. Mm-hmm. I would also say this. In your life, learn, it is extremely important to create positivity around you. So when you say things, either to others or very importantly to your own self, put them in positive terms.
Yes, right? I agree.
You know, so people talk about being grateful. What that does is makes you positive.
Yes.
And you're that same stress. I could have two people who have the exact amount of money, have the same job, same family, same relationship, same exactly absolute twin situations.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And the one who sees things positively and creates a little positively will experience that life at a much better level than the other person. Same life, same circumstances, but this person's experience of life will be much better.
Right.
So we have to be very serious. And I make the same mistake. And my brother and my friends will remind me, right, to say it in a positive way. And so we all have to do it, right?
Yes.
Right. So I am thankful for what I have. I am thankful for how much I have achieved, right?
Yes.
Because we are constantly beating ourselves and saying, well, I have not achieved. Well, today I have achieved because I'm talking to the great Stacy. I have arrived, but I could beat myself down and say, well, I waited, you know, 53 years before I got here. Right? I could put it that way, or I could say, well, I'm finally talking. Right? I have finally made that connection. So there is always a way to look at it from a glass half full. And that's not something that, people say, well, there are some personalities that way. That is a conscious thing. It's like we have to have the discipline, and we have to do that, right?
Right.
We have to watch the words. We have to watch our language. We have to watch our body language, right? And our thinking and our mindsets. And that can reduce stress, because you will notice that the people who spread negativity or who speak negatively, who are constantly complaining,
mm-hmm.
stress will affect them more.
Yes, I agree.
Because the subconscious doesn't understand that you're complaining about, you know, something that is immaterial, that is a small thing. The subconscious thinks, well, you're complaining, so something must be really going wrong. And you're complaining all the time.
Right.
You know, you're stuck in traffic. There's nothing you can do about it. Might as well listen to some traffic, music, and enjoy your, right?
Right.
Why are you getting stressed out? The subconscious goes, well, something must be really bad, because the subconscious doesn't have eyes and senses, right? So they think, oh, something, you know, this person must really be in a bad situation.
Right.
And that is why we have road rage, right? That is why we have people who cannot control, you know, they don't know the other person. And in 30 seconds, they won't remember that person. Yet it compels them to stop the car, corner them off, take a firearm, right? How stressed do you have to be? How stressed do you have to be? What chronic level of stress have you been carrying? And that you know, it, and really somebody cutting you off is not going to delay you more than 2 seconds. And for that 2 seconds, you're willing to turn upside down your entire life, your loved one's life, not to mention the other person's life and their loved one's life, right?
Of course.
All of this. So be careful on how much you complain. Be careful on how much negativity you're putting outside. Create positivity. Choose your company carefully. Find the friends who are positive. Keep the friends, I should not say keep the, you know, discard the friends who are negative, but be cognizant of them.
Yes.
Right? Keep them at an arm's distance and find the ones who encourage you. Find the ones who are cheerful. Find the ones who are positive.
Yes.
And whom after meeting you say, I feel good. I, you know, that I'm in a bad situation, but I feel good after meeting them. Right?
Yes.
And when, as you're coming back after meeting them, your mind will start firing off with solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, yeah, maybe I can do that. Maybe I should try that. Maybe I should call them. Maybe I should call for this cell. Maybe I should, right?
Right.
Solutions will come up. And only solutions can solve bad situations. No other way, right?
Yes.
And so choose those friends or find people. There are so many people, or listen to people. You know, these days on social media, we have so much content available. Choose your content carefully. There are a lot of people who are spewing hate all the time. That's all they do. They have made a big business of spewing hate.
Yes.
You listen to that negativity. You think it's entertaining. I promise you, you're paying a very heavy price by listening to that negativity, because it is filtering into your subconscious and it will affect your life. I promise you. It 100%. Is guaranteed. Be very careful on how much negativity you're soaking in.
Yes, I agree. 100%. Right?
Be very careful on who you listen to. Listen to positivity.
Yes.
Listen to Stacy. Listen to me. No,
I'll sorry. Give you an example. Even my, I still remember when my son was little, he had put the TV on and there was some type of show on cable and they were battling. And he was in a dead sleep. And in his sleep, he had his fists and he was punching along because his subconscious was still listening to the TV. So he absorbed the fight and he absorbed the words. And in his subconscious mind, he was part of that battle. So our brain doesn't realize the power. When we have negativity around us, the absorption of negativity, the words, the actions of people, their energies are all absorbent into us. And it's playing a big role on our health. And people also don't realize that 70% of illness is caused by stress. So the amount of negativity in our life, the subconscious that we build inside ourselves, the negativity that we bring on ourselves from work and from other things, it's all playing a toll on our mind, our body, and our soul, and our ability to actually move forward and be productive and to be happiness and to have that happy soul and that happy mind that you are trying to explain. We have to try to, like you said, retrain our mind and focus on a more positive aspect of life. Focus on the positive, right? And not to excel and to move away from the negativities.
No, absolutely. And which is why I wrote this book, Happy Soul, Hungry Mind, because it is the story of an entrepreneur. And as I shared, he goes through a family tragedy, but he's struggling in his business. He's struggling in his business. And you can see he has frustration, right? He has anxiety. He has stress because he's living off of, I guess this is a spoiler alert, he's living off of his wife.
You know, I find with so many people that I've spoken to that own businesses, and their biggest thing is they get so stressed out and their mind is absorbed continuously in their business because, well, I have to pay this bill. I have to pay that bill. I have employees to pay. I have to do this. I have to do that. And these are nonstop responsibilities that they feel obligated to do. So if they, in order for them to run a positive and a successful business, how do they separate themselves from those stresses?
So this man, Travis, you know, I talked about road rage. So in the book, he actually, there is an incident of him cutting somebody off, you know, chasing somebody in the middle of the night, and because he's completely out of control. His grief and his frustration with his life and his business, not only to make payroll, but not succeeding fast enough. He has certain expectations. They're not being met. And both of these, both sides of life coming together completely crush him, right?
Right.
And so then he begins to have this conversation with a mentor who he runs into after many years, whom he had lost contact with. And it's a chance meeting. And the mentor begins to help him unravel the amount of stress that he's carrying around, right? And then they talk about finding peace, because all of us, every human being, you know, how do we get the antidote to stress? What is the antidote to stress? Because I cannot change the modern world. I cannot change the fact that the bank is going to be there on the first of the month asking for the mortgage payment. And I say, look, I was too stressed this month. I did not make an earning, please. The bank will show up.
That's true.
They don't care about your stress.
No, right? They don't.
I cannot say, well, I don't have rent money. They don't care. The landlord is going to show up. If you don't make your car payment, the dealership will come and take your car away. You said, excuse me. I heard to Ravi and Stacy, they said, chill. They said, if you have a job loss, don't worry about it. Right? There are realities. There are absolute realities. And we have to deal with it. But like we have talked about, and so this discussion, this unraveling, right, is that the antidote to stress is finding that peace within.
Yes.
Because we all, this is, you know, human beings, we don't realize it. And 99% of the people on earth don't realize that we have this infinite ocean of peace within us.
Yes, we do.
It is just lying there. Mm-hmm. And it is mine. It's not somebody else. It is mine to claim.
Right.
The more I am able to dip in this ocean of my peace.
Yes.
I say, okay, life, throw whatever you want to at me, right?
Right.
Now, it will not happen that, it's like in the ocean. You know, if you have a small boat and there are huge waves and there are storm, your boat will capsize.
Right.
But with spirituality and by by experiencing your own peace, your boat becomes bigger and bigger. It becomes an ocean liner.
Yeah.
And so if there is a storm, it doesn't mean that the ocean liner will not swing, but it will not capsize.
Right.
You will survive the storm.
You will.
Right. You will. And so that's what we have to do. We have to strengthen ourselves. And we have to, if we get a chance every day, dip into our own ocean of peace. And the more I do that, then the stress, I can just flick away. It will come and stick to me. But like every morning I take a bath and I wash away the dirt.
Right.
I dip into my ocean of peace. All the stress will melt away. It's when I'm not dipping into my ocean of peace and that dirt keeps collecting for 30 years.
Right.
Then I am completely affected by it because it hardens. Right?
Yes.
I need to dip into my ocean of peace. And that is why spirituality is the universe's most powerful gift to us. It is the most amazing gift to us. And it is a gift that has been given to us so we can live the most best quality of life.
Yes.
We can experience the most amazing thing, this amazing wonderment.
100%. Can you tell people where they can find your website?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Stacy. So please visit happysoulhungrymind.com. Happysoulhungrymind.com. There's a lot of content on happysoulhungrymind.com. Some of it is provocative, so I apologize in advance. If you read it and you go, oh, he sounded so nice on the call. But, you know, in life, you have to be. We have to change our thinking. We have to wake up.
We do.
And then, of course, you can read the book. You can purchase the book on Amazon or on Kindle. The book is not provocative. The book is shares spiritual truths that can really change our lives. It can transform everyone's lives. And then if you're not a reader, then you can watch on YouTube many of the videos that I have with the channel is Happy Soul Hungry Mind as well.
So, now you're also a speaker. Can you tell people if they're interested after listening to this podcast, if they want you to come speak with them, how they can contact you?
Yes, yes, of course. Please please contact me and send me an email at ravi@happysoulhungrymind.com. And we can be in touch and we could. I'd love to speak. I am the founder and president of the Houston Strategy Forum, where I moderate live sessions. I have spoken. Happy Soul, Hungry Mind is my second book. Many years ago, I wrote a business book, How Cohesive is Your Company? So I have spoken to corporate audiences, to MBA, executive MBA students, to organizations, conferences. So if you would like to talk about stress and anxiety, if you would like to talk about finding meaning in life, if you want to talk about spirituality and how wonderful spirituality is, what is spirituality and what does it mean to you as an individual, and what we are missing out?
Yes.
You may have achieved a lot in life. You may have a family, you may have made money, you may have made a career. But if you have not started experiencing your spiritual side, and it is non-religious, it doesn't matter whether you are a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Jew, or if you're an atheist, you have a spiritual side
Yes.
You have this spiritual ability. And I'll say this, it's like every human being born on earth has swimming ability.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know how to swim, but they have swimming ability.
Right.
They could have been born in the middle of the Saharan desert. And the maximum amount of water they have seen is in an oasis where they get enough to drink and bathe, and that's it, right?
Right.
They were going swimming, but they have swimming ability. Everyone has swimming ability. Everyone has spiritual ability without exceptions, without judgment. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with your spiritual side, please call me.
Yes.
That is the most beautiful thing that you can do for yourself. More beautiful than anything else you have done in life.
And you do one-on-one coaching as well also, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Can they get in contact with you through the same email?
Yes, please. Ravi, R-A-V as in Victor I, R-A-V-I, at happysoulhungrymind.com. Yes, I'm happy to help. I'm here to help. And we all need help. We're all in this together. We're
100%.
All in this together. So, yeah, let's make progress. Let's all of us make progress.
Definitely.
And let us help each other. Yeah, please.
The world will be a better place if we do.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Thank you so much, Ravi, for being on the show. You have gave us a world of information, and I think many listeners are going to benefit from this podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us and give us your information and your input and your advice on spirituality and relieving stress.
Thank you. I hope it helps people. I hope they find it of value. And I hope they pay attention. Miss Stacy, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. What an honor.
Oh, thank you.
To be on your show.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you.